Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Grasim Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankit Panchmatia, Head Investor Relations of Grasim Industries. Thank you, and over to you, Ankit, sir.
Thank you, Neerav. Good evening, and thank you for joining Grasim's first quarter financial year 2026 earnings call. The financial statements, press release, and presentation are already uploaded on the website of stock exchanges and our website for your reference. For safe harbor, kindly refer to cautionary statement highlighted in the last slide of our presentation. We have with us our management team on this call to discuss our results and business performance. We have with us Mr. Himanshu Kapania, Managing Director, Mr. Pavan Jain, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Hemant Kadel, incoming Chief Financial Officer of Grasim Industries. From businesses, we have with us Mr. Jayant Dhobley, Business Head, CFI Business, Mr. Rakshit Hargave, CEO of Birla Opus, our paints division, and Mr. Sandeep Komaravelly, CEO, Birla Pivot, our B2B e-commerce business, and Mr. Manmohan from Cellulosic Fibers business. Let me now hand over the call to Mr. Himanshu Kapania for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good evening from India to all the participants across the globe, and thank you for joining the call. Over the past one year, the global economic landscape has evolved rapidly, shaped by shifting global trade dynamics and policy responses. Let me highlight key developments across global growth, tariff policies, and contrasting paths of advanced and developing economies. Firstly, on global growth, in the past year, the global economy has shown moderate but uneven resilience. Growth has slowed slightly, with the global GDP expanding at just under 3%, reflecting the lagged effects of tight monetary policy in major economies and geopolitical tensions that have weighed on investment sentiment. Inflation, while cooling in most advanced economies, remains above central bank targets, keeping interest rates elevated. U.S. Federal Reserve and European Central Bank maintained a cautious stance through much of the past year, wary of premature rate cuts. This has led to tighter global financial conditions and subdued credit growth. New supply chain disruptions, such as Red Sea shipping tensions and sanctions, have added fresh layers of uncertainty. Secondly, tariffs and trade policy shifts were one of the most notable changes in the past year. The escalation of trade protectionism has reinforced a trend of fragmentation of global trade into regional blocs. Many countries are now actively reshoring critical industries, prioritizing geopolitical alignment over pure cost efficiency. Even within regions, we are seeing trade barriers rise not in the form of just tariffs but also export restrictions on strategic minerals, technology controls, and state subsidies linked to domestic production. Thirdly, diverging growth trajectories. The divergence in economic momentum between advanced and developing economies has become more pronounced over the past year. The U.S. economy, despite tight monetary policy, has surprised on the upside with higher consumer spending. However, growth is expected to slow below 2% in year 2025. Europe and Japan, in contrast, have seen sluggish recoveries with weak industrial output, stagnant wages, and fragile business confidence. Meanwhile, the real momentum has shifted to developing Asia. China's GDP growth is projected at around 4.8%, reflecting a continued structural slowdown amid cyclic headwinds, especially in the property and consumer sectors. Export momentum has also weakened due to heightened trade restrictions and new tariffs, especially from the US and EU. India, on the other hand, continues to lead global growth amongst major economies, with GDP projected to expand by 6.8%, driven by stable domestic demand, higher infrastructure spending, and sustained exports. Inflation, although sticky early in the year, has moderated to 4.3% by mid-2025, allowing the RBI to shift gears from tight monetary stance to a more neutral and growth-oriented policy, enacting 3 consecutive rate cuts totaling 100 basis points in the current calendar year. In summary, the past 1 year has underscored a few key themes: moderate global growth with clear divide between advanced economies slowing down and emerging markets accelerating, a series of sweeping trade tariffs, redefinition global trade patterns and supply chain realignments, and the ongoing tensions between economic integration and national security priorities. As we look ahead, the need for adaptive policy framework, regional partnerships, and investment in sustainable, inclusive growth models has never been more urgent. Grasim continues to harness the strength of its diversified business portfolio, seamlessly aligning with India's robust growth trajectory. Backed by a legacy of building large-scale, future-ready businesses, Grasim is well-positioned to cater to the rising demands of a dynamic Indian economy. Riding this growth wave, we are proud to share that Grasim has delivered 20 consecutive quarters of year-on-year revenue growth, achieving an impressive 15% CAGR since financial year 2021. Our trailing 12-month TTM consolidated revenue has crossed a record high of nearly 150,000 crores, a testimony to our consistent performance and resilience. While the company CFO, Mr. Pawan Jain, would be covering key financial highlights, happy to share that we have started the current financial year on a high note, reporting 16% Y&Y growth in consolidated revenue at 40,118 crores. The standalone revenue for the quarter touched a record high of rupees 9,223 crores, up 34% Y&Y, led by high growth from new businesses, paints and B2B e-commerce, coupled with stable core businesses, cellulose fibers and chemicals. Consolidated EBITDA stood at 6,430 crores, marking a strong growth of 36% Y&Y, mainly due to higher profitability in cement and chemicals businesses, partially offset by initial investments for building strong consumer-facing paint business below offers in line with board-approved business plans. Starting with the new businesses, firstly with paints business. Birla Opus reported double-digit revenue growth on a quarter-on-quarter basis. As per internal estimates, the organized decorative paints industry has grown by over 5% on Y-on-Y basis. However, as per our estimates, excluding Birla Opus revenues, the organized decorative paints industry has degrown slightly or remained flattish on year-on-year basis. Our belief is that this subdued growth rate is led by push from incumbent industry players for low-end economy products. Nevertheless, Birla Opus continues to believe that the industry market share realignment along capacity lines, consolidation of fringe players, highest ever manufacturing capacity addition, and increased brand salience will enable the decorative paints industry to return to double-digit growth. The industry is bound to capture the opportunities from rising consumer aspirations and exponential development in infrastructure, especially the housing sector. As per internal estimates, Birla Opus on its own is India's number three decorative brand, and when combining the revenues of Birla Opus and Birla White Putty business, similar to the revenue reporting of all paint majors, Aditya Birla Group's presence in decorative paints business has crossed 10% revenue market share. On manufacturing front, the trial production of emulsions and water-based paints at Birla Opus 6th plant in Kharagpur has begun, and commercial launch is on track by end of quarter 2 FY26. To emphasize, post the launch of this 6th plant, the Birla Opus install capacity will rise to 1,332 million liters per annum, estimated to reach 24% of India's organized paint industry capacity. On consumer engagement front, Birla Opus painting services offered under PaintCraft brand name is being scaled up through retail network. PaintCraft has been running a direct painting services by the company in select cities for last 2 years, which is now being extensively expanded to over top 100 towns in quarter 2 FY26 through company's dealer operated franchises. PaintCraft is a differentiated service offering that is unlike any existing dealer led painting services model. The key points that makes it distinct is that the service has been built on digital platform, which integrates the service for all stakeholders, including company, dealer franchise, applicator, painter, and consumer. This allows PaintCraft to offer A, transparent consumer pricing, B, financing on painting, C, end-to-end company oversight of dealer-led painting services through trained execution network, and D, a fully tax-compliant service. The company remains committed to upgrade consumer painting experience not only in metros and large towns, but also in mid and small towns through Birla Opus PaintCraft services, with a vision to offer consistent quality and affordable painting services with the backing of the company. Separately, our research shows that consumer love for Birla Opus continues to rise as brand maintains its unique 360-degree integrated, highly salient advertising campaigns. Recently, company has launched part 2 of Duniya Ko Rang Do, bringing back adorable Opus Boy in animation form. Opus increased acceptance can be measured through higher uptake of premium and luxury paint products. This quarter, the premium luxury product revenue contribution was maintained at 65% of revenue, covering all categories across emulsion, enamel, wood finish, and waterproofing, including retail and institutional segments. On distribution front, the focus shifted to improving dealer throughput in terms of revenue by increasing penetration of each category with the onboarded dealers and selling wider range of SKUs per category. The brand has expanded its pan-India reach to over 8,000 towns in a short span of less than 12 months. The total capex spend for paints business stood at 9,555 crores as on 30th June 2025. Grasim is proud of Birla Opus team to have executed such large-scale greenfield project of 6 state-of-art plants. Such execution of simultaneous commencement without any cost overrun, lighting pace, production scale-up, and delivering first-time right and consistent quality for the entire range of 179 products is a feat unparalleled. This execution further demonstrates financial discipline and manufacturing and supply chain prowess capability of this new startup organization. Moving on to the second new business, Birla Pivot, the B2B e-commerce business. Let me start with the potential of online platform in the building and construction space. Indian B2B market presents an untapped opportunity estimated at $2 trillion today and poised to grow at ferocious pace of 4 trillion by 2030, making it one of the largest globally. There are over 73 million SMEs growing at 13% annually who are rapidly adopting digital solutions for core business processes like GST compliance, e-way bills, digital payments and credit access. Since its launch in 2023, BillUpPivot has evolved into a comprehensive and trusted B2B e-commerce platform offering integrated procurement and financial solutions that help businesses grow and become more efficient. BillUpPivot platform today offers wide range of products across 35 categories, 40,000 plus SKUs from 300 plus brands. BillUpPivot team has been successfully building a large network of buyers and sellers and continuously improving its proposition across three core pillars of B2B e-commerce. That is price, assortment, and experience. There has been a steady rise in customers' engagement on its proprietary tech stack, BillUpPivot Suite, which is unique and solves the need of the ecosystem. The private labels across Tiles, Pathware, and Ply has been gaining traction, and we are seeing increasing inquiries for these categories. As far as this quarter performance, the business has delivered another quarter of superior growth rates despite monsoon-led weakness, which impacted large part of the construction materials segment. The business has grown at high single digit sequentially, led by new customer additions and healthy repeat orders. The business annualized revenue run rate continues to rise and remains on track to achieve ₹8,500 crore, that is the billion-dollar ambition by FY27. Moving on to the cement business, the third revenue stream in Grasim's building materials segment, UltraTech. The performance has been robust with revenue growth of 13% Y-on-Y. The company added new capacity of 37.4 million tons per annum on Y-on-Y basis, with a total capacity domestic and overseas now at 192.3 million tons per annum. The large annual capacity addition includes greenfield expansion and acquisition of key assets of Kesoram and India Cement Limited business domestically and RAK at UAE during last 1 year. UltraTech continues to stand at the helm of India's infrastructure growth story and contribute to the nation's long-term development goals. The volume growth in the cement industry is estimated at 4 to 5%, and UltraTech continues to outpace industry growth with volume growth of 10% year on year. The operating EBITDA per metric ton grew at a healthy level of ₹1,248 per metric ton, a phenomenal rise of 37% on Y-on-Y basis, led by scale benefit and cost optimization. As regards existing core businesses, including cellulose fibers, chemicals, renewables, and other businesses, and overview of company financials, I am now handing over to the CFO, Mr. Pawan, to carry on from here.
Thank you, Mr. Kapania, and good evening to everyone. Cellulosic fiber prices continue to remain resilient compared to other competing fibers like cotton and polyester, which are exhibiting volatility with a downward bias. In H1 of calendar year 2025, there was demand slowdown globally, including demand in China, resulting into decline in utilization levels to 82% and increasing inventory to 20 days. With price increase to partially absorb the high input costs, cellulosic fiber revenue grew by 7% YOY to ₹4,043 crore. Just to remind, this segment also has an element of our cellulosic fashion yarn business, where the volumes grew by 6% YOY. The realizations in cellulosic fashion yarn business continue to remain impacted by lower priced imports from China. High input prices, including that of caustic soda, reflected in higher profitability of our chemical segment, partially absorbed by the company has resulted into decline in EBITDA by 17% YOY. In chemical business, revenue grew by 16% YOY at ₹2,391 crore, led by volume growth of 8%, driven by stable domestic demand scenario. ECU realization stood flattish on sequential basis and higher by 10% YOY, led by stable demand and favorable base. Specialty chemical sales volume stood at record high levels, recording a growth of 6% YOY as the utilization rates of expanded capacities are improving. EBITDA for the chemical business grew by 36% YOY at ₹422 crore. The financial services business under Aditya Birla Capital is continuing to focus on embracing customer centricity and driving synergies across verticals. A key thrust has been on strengthening capabilities in data, digital and technology, enabling enhanced decision-making, improved customer experience and greater operational efficiency. For Q1 FY26, the business reported revenue growth of 8% YOY, led by housing finance, which was up by 65% YOY, and health insurance, which was up by 31% YOY. Total lending portfolio, which includes NBFC and housing finance loan book, grew by 30% YOY to over ₹1,65,000 crore. Amidst declining interest rate movement, the NBFC business witnessed a YOY decline of 59 basis points in the net interest margin. The total assets under management across AMC, life and health insurance grew by 20% YOY to over 5,53,000 crore. Of this, life insurance AUM crossed milestone of 1 lakh crore. In renewable business, our total installed peak capacity reached 1.9 gigawatt in Q1 FY26, up twofold from 946 megawatt in June 24. The business has strong anchor clientele with Aditya Birla Group companies representing 43% of the existing portfolio. On capex front, Grasim has announced capex plan of spending ₹2,263 crore in FY26, out of which ₹480 crore has already been spent in Q1 FY26. Lyocell project in cellulosic fiber business remains on track to be completed by mid-27. The long lead items orders have been placed and other orders and contracts are in process. In chemicals, mechanical completion of two projects, namely ECH and CPVC plant with Lubrizol, would be completed in Q3 FY26. Before we open the floor for Q&A, I would like to share development on my movement. As you would be aware, I am superannuating effective 15th August 25, and my colleague Hemant Karel will be taking over as CFO. It is a mixed feeling of pride, gratitude and emotion being associated with Grasim for more than 20 years and CFO for over 3 years. It has been a journey of growth, challenge, learning, contribution and most importantly collaboration. I have been fortunate to work and interact with some of the brightest minds and committed individuals. Together we have navigated market cycles, celebrated milestones, weathered uncertainties, and above all, upheld the values that defines this company. As I step away, I carry with me not just numbers and reports, but memories, relationships, and the satisfaction of having contributed in some way to this institution's journey. I would like to add my interaction with many of you as analysts, investors, and observers has helped shape my knowledge and intellect. I want to thank the board and our leadership team for their constant support and belief in me. To each one of you on this call and friends in the investment world, thank you for the trust, work relations and shared purpose we have built over the years. Thank you for building such an important association. It has been an honor. I'm confident that the company is in an exciting growth phase, poised for even greater heights. I look forward to watching Grasim's continued success, this time from the sidelines. I now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, audible. Yeah, Mihir.
Perfect. Thank you. So first question is on paints. You know, wanted to check on your sales momentum in the recent months. My back of the calculation suggests that you've grown about 20% in this quarter on a QOQ basis. But just in the recent months, I wanted to check the momentum. The context of the question is generally brands in the initial phase of the launch see high demand and then it moderates down in some time as it consolidates. Before starting again to gain traction, if at all. There are views that Opus is now consolidating and dealers are going back to their old brands. Wanted to know your side of the narrative and which phase are you in currently? So that's my first question.
So thank you, Mehir. Let me answer the first question. So like we also declared, quarter on quarter growth is in double digits. And the fact is that the growth for us continues. So growth, as you said, comes also from dealers who are being added, but more from dealers who are now giving us more business as counter share. On your query that there is feedback that there is dealer attrition and dealers are going back, I am not able to comprehend that easily, because firstly, let me tell you that apart from the franchises that we have, majority of our dealers are multi-brand dealers. We are not the first brand in the shop. We are either the second, third or fourth brand. And most of those dealers continue to be with us and continue to expand our portfolio and sell us more. If one or two dealers have gone back, that should not be taken in the other calls where we have heard that we are having dealer attrition. The fact is the larger universe and majority of them continue to grow with us and giving us more counter share. On your question, where are we on the phase? We are purely on the growth phase. So while you might say classically there is a growth phase and there is a consolidation phase, we are growing and consolidating both. Because when we say that our throughput per dealer is going up as a function of deeper penetration, more products and more range, that obviously means consolidation. But the fact that we are still adding some more dealers and increasing our range in each dealer says that we are also growing. So that's where we are.
Got it, Akshay. Thank you for that. That's quite helpful. Secondly, I wanted to know if you can share how is your traction in between the category A, B, C dealers. Where have you seen the most acceptance, and what kind of hurdles are you facing to make inroads in the other ones that you have not been able to get through? And a sub part to it is earlier even you had highlighted during the launch that you will cross 6,000 towns. I see you've crossed already 8,000 towns now. Even your SKU and product mix has crossed the earlier number that you had shared during the launch. Any updated dealer reach or any of the updated numbers that you would like to share? That's my second question.
So, like we said, we have shared the dealer reach. As we said that we had a target of 50,000 dealers in the first year and we were very close to that. And like we said, we are still adding dealers, we're consolidating more on existing dealers. You rightly said we had talked about 6,000 towns, but we are close to 8,000 towns. So for us, growth continues in this way. We are not sharing any other numbers, but I think these are fair indicators that business is progressing on all fronts in all the geographies.
Got it. Thank you very much. Wishing you all the very best, guys.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Gupta from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. 2 questions. So first, just continuing on the previous question, can you help us understand how competitive landscape has evolved versus last quarter? I remember you mentioned that the economy segment had relatively higher competitive intensity. So just some color on this will be very helpful. That's my first question. Thank you.
Yes, so like we said, the competitive intensity remains. And we see that from competition side, the intensity has been increased on the value or the economy segment. The level of discounting has gone up. And you can also see from all the other companies that while volume growth is there, but the value growth is much lesser than that. So obviously, the action on discounts on the economy segment has been taken up by competition. But like we said, we continue to play very strongly in all the 3 segments, as you say, luxury, premium, and economy. Himanshu also ratified in his opening speech that the contribution of luxury products, if you assume the full portfolio for us, is close to 65%, which is very, very good, even for an established player, leave aside a new player like Birla Opus.
Got it. So just to follow up on this, so how should we look at both volume and value for rest of this year? I also understand that festive season is earlier this year. So any color that you may provide on this?
So if you noted on a QOQ annual basis, the market has grown only at 5%. And if you remove Birla Opus, then the market is actually -1 or 0. So obviously, Birla Opus has taken a lion's share of the growth, which has happened on an annualized basis. Now, if you take a look at this year, yes, the market is still slow. The advancement of rains does not work well for paints business because the exterior business, you know, gets affected. And this time, the monsoon, even if at a lower intensity, continues for a longer period, which would mean that the slowness because of the monsoon would still be there. Now, how would the volume growth move ahead in the following quarters? Difficult to predict, but yes, you are right that this time Diwali is earlier, and corresponding to that, the so-called high sales season period, which has relevance in paints, will come before, and that should start happening towards the end of August or September. And as Birla Opus, we are fully prepared to tackle that successfully, and we see that we should be able to grow well on a continuum basis. As far as competition is concerned, it is for them. How do they want to play the coming season?
Great. Thank you so much. Just one bookkeeping question. Our math suggests that your reported revenues was around 11 billion versus 9 billion last quarter. Can you help us understand what kind of revenues was in CWIP?
So we appreciate your, you know, doing your math on your books. But like we said, we will disclose the math at the right moment, as Pawan had promised in the last call also. Okay.
So let me flip this question. Is CWIP revenues this quarter materially different versus last quarter?
See, what is CWIP? For factories which have not been capitalized, which are manufacturing, as per accounting laws, the sale from that has to be put in CWIP. So yes, there is our factory Mahad, which was manufacturing. It had products which were manufactured before capitalization, so they would go in CWIP. I would not like to comment on the value, but the fact is, as per accounting standards on a time scale, it does impact our reported numbers.
Got it. Thank you, and thank you. All the very best.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Nita from Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, 2 questions on chemicals. Sir, one, when we see our YOY numbers for chemicals, our EBITDA has gone up by close to around 112 crores. And based on the ECU realizations, we are higher by around 3 rupees 40 paisa. So which translates to a benefit of close to around 103 crores. So just wanted to check here, like, the benefit from ECU as well as from the renewable share was higher than this 103 crores, and there was a degrowth in the profits from the epoxy division. Your thoughts here?
Yes, I'm not completely sure I understand your math, but the end question that you have is, was there a degrowth in epoxy profits, right? That is the question you are leading to, so I will answer it very directly instead of indirectly. So as you know, feedstocks for epoxy, basically BPA, ECH have been hardening, particularly ECH. You also know that there is an anti-dumping duty on ECH. At the same time, you also know that epoxy comes into India through different countries, particularly Korea, through FTA arrangements, right? Which basically puts pressure on the epoxy chain. Our approach has been to find the right balance between maintaining market share and maintaining margins. We do hope that, you know, the process that is now running with the government to review different FTAs and the industry representations around that will lead to some positive. So yes, within the epoxy chain, the industry is in a margin compression between hardening raw material prices, anti-dumping duty on one hand, and duty-free imports on the other hand. And we are making the right balanced trade-offs between retaining our margin and ensuring that we don't spoil our market position.
Correct. So in one of the interactions in the earlier calls, you mentioned that the steady state or the normalized margin for the epoxy business should be anywhere between 15% to 18%. But I think with all the factors what you mentioned above, the margins in this business possibly would have come closer to 10%, or let's say anywhere between those bands. So is it a correct
position? Because you know that we also have a large portfolio of specialty epoxies. You know, we make a large number of products uniquely tailored for automotive, for wind, for anti-corrosion, etc. So I would not like to comment on the current state of you know, margins, because it will it's competitively sensitive.
Correct. So second question is on the power requirement. I think based on some back-ended calculations, I hope. Yeah. So, sir, based on the calculations, I think our power requirement for the chemical business is close to around 350 megawatts. So if you can just help us understand what is the mix between captive renewables and grid, and also if you can share the capacity utilization for the chlorine derivative business. Thank you so much.
The capacity utilization has been slightly above 80% for chloralkali, if that is the one that you're asking. And
no, sir, I'm specifically asking about VAP.
Oh, that is a difficult number to give, because it's a very complex portfolio, you know, with more than 20 product lines. So that's a difficult one to give. Maybe I don't want to disclose that number. Right?
No worries. And sir, the breakup of 350 megawatt or whatever may be the
actual number. I'll give it to you in 2 minutes. I'll give it to you in 2 minutes.
Thank you so much.
My renewable has reached about 15% exit.
15.
Which is, I think, the number that you were looking for.
Correct. And what would be a captive?
Captive and grid would be roughly equal.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Pradeep Kumar from Jefferies, kindly proceed with your question.
Yeah, good evening. My first question is on your B2B e-commerce segment. The segment has scaled to almost over 5,000 crore of revenue run rate. What is the kind of profitability this segment is doing, and or any outlook if you can share on the same? Also, this segment was, and it has to do like around 2,000 crore of capex when this segment was launched. How is the, how do you see capex in the segment and now and out of the same? That is my first question.
Pradeep, thanks for the question. This is Sandeep here. So on your first question, the revenue growth has been pretty good, and it continues quarter on quarter. As was remarked in the opening comments, we are seeing high single digit growth sequentially when you compare quarter four to quarter one. You'd asked about profitability. We had earlier mentioned it in our previous quarter calls as well. At a scale of $1 billion, which is what we are estimating that we'll hit in FY27, we are confident that we'll break even at that scale. And all our indications and our trends right now are pointing towards that, if not sooner. On your second question, Pradeep, which is on CAPEX and how much have we spent out of the 2,000 crores that was announced when we launched the business. Look, our business is a technology business. We are fundamentally investing in building a technology platform and making sure that all the parts of our value chain are visible to our buyers, our sellers, and everyone else who is participating in the ecosystem. So most of our CAPEX so far has largely been in building that technology stack. Without going into the details of how much has been spent, we are well within track as per what we budgeted for. We still remain in that growth phase, and we still continue to invest in building the right technology, which will solve for the needs of this, B2B universe.
Thank you. My other question is on paint business. Any 1 year target or we had a great start to the financial year. Any 1 year target we now have for this business in terms of on revenue or any other metrics which you think is important?
So like we said, we talked about, we gave some metrics for the first year, and then we have anyway given our intention to be what we want to be in full scale operation after 3 years. So we don't really have specific targets to share with you for a 1 year period, but the journey continues and we are on track, give or take a few things here, plus or minus. That's how we want to put it.
Sure, thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Nishan from Temasek Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, just one question on the paints business. What are the credit policy difference that we have versus peers? Do we have a higher indexation to dealers who are more credit funded versus short cycle credit?
So, if you take a look at the overall market and if you take a look at the top three or four players, our credit policy will fall somewhere in the center. So we are with the market. It's not that we are giving less or more, but the different players have slightly different policies starting from A to B. So our policy would fall somewhere in the average in terms of credit days.
Understand. And the second one is in terms of just the, as you go through the brand evolution, how do you track evolution from a transactional business pull through to a brand driven business pull through? How would you sort of assess that evolution?
So, we have taken some initiatives. One of them is also a first time in the paint industry, is that we have availability of RMS data, which actually gives us a lot of insight into what is the share that we have across different geographies. Secondly, we also have a good brand tracking mechanism, which shows where are we in terms of total awareness, unaided awareness, spontaneous awareness, and how are we progressing versus competition on a quarter to quarter. Very soon, we will also get into what you call is the consumption funnel and reason, from awareness to usage and why are they dropout. So like a classical good consumer brand, we are putting these practices into play, and access to this kind of data helps us understand how we are moving better.
Understand. And any color that you can share on current sort of awareness data that you may be able to share today?
I'll share with you. If you take a look at total awareness, we are already there with the top three brands.
Okay.
And if you talk about spontaneous awareness, as per my data, I am already number two and equal to the number two player.
Understand. Okay. Sorry, spontaneous is unaided awareness, is how you...
Spontaneous is you ask someone top of mind. Which is the one brand that you would want to say?
Understand. Okay, okay. Got it. Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Amit Purohit from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just one on the overall industry demand. You clearly highlighted that the incumbents have not grown much. And how do you see this going forward as we enter into festive season? Any outlook that you think would find it challenging for us to maintain the growth momentum because the industry demand remains muted? That was my first question. And second is on paint craft. I just wanted to know, this service would be available to all our dealers and normally in a typical dealer, what is the share of painting service? I know not for all dealers it may be, but at least the top dealers that we in their sales, how do we think about it, this as an enabler to drive further growth?
So let me answer the first question regarding how do we see the demand in the upcoming season. So you see, the season is slightly advanced this time as compared to the last few years. So you should see the festive upswing starting towards the end of this month, and September should be a big month. Difficult to say how the other players will play out, because currently the focus is a lot more on economy segment and discounting, and that is going to get you some volume, but that might not get you so much of value. As far as we are concerned, we will play the market as it should be. We have a very exciting luxury premium portfolio also. We would focus on that. We are quite confident that we will be able to reap good benefits and continue our quarter-to-quarter growth. For the others, I think it's up to them as to how they want to focus on themselves and play. On paint craft, we were offering paint craft as a direct service, as a kind of test market in some cities through service partners. We are now going to take it broader. And in the first phase, we will take it to about 100 towns, and we are going to offer it through our franchise dealers. But obviously, during a certain period of time, we will cover a large number of dealers who work with us. Now, how much contribution does come from painting service? We will have to learn that ourselves. As Himanshu said, we have created a good tech stack in terms of lead generation, in terms of fulfillment, transparent pricing, tax compliant, and we will also promote it that way. We are quite confident that the consumer will be excited, because there will be many benefits here, and we hope that it contributes a decent volume for the partners, you know, who are working with us. But we will have to see how it evolves, but good preparations and good plans have gone into that.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Rashi from Citi. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just two questions. On the paint side, I think I missed the point that you mentioned, that excluding Birla Opus, you said that the industry growth was flat. Is that what you said?
Slightly negative. As per internet.
Okay.
If you take Q1 of this year, if you take Q1 of FY25, and if I remove Birla Opus from both left-hand and right-hand side, the market growth is marginally negative.
And with Birla?
With Birla, we said it's about
over 5%.
Over 5%.
Understand. And what is your general estimate for the industry growth for the, I mean, I understand that a seasonally strong period is coming up, but on average for the year, how are you thinking about this?
I think too early. It's just been one quarter. There are three more quarters left. We will have just to wait and see. You know, we will play a good game.
Rashi, I think this was you were the fourth same question asking. Let me address the Himanshu. Let us address it. It's dependent on the industry players. There is volume in the market. Now, whether you want to convert that volume into value is now left to the industry players. That is, to us, is what we are repeatedly saying. Okay, there is enough in the market. The market is has huge opportunities. Consumers want to do painting services. They can take it and discount it and still get volume and not get value, or they can keep the value with them. That is where the current industry is. So that's why we are waiting.
Understand. And any update on the whole CCI investigation?
Yeah, I would like to share CCI if Rachit permits. Grasim has filed information with CCI regarding the practices found in the market with respect to the abuse of dominance by the dominant player. CCI saw merit in information and evidence shared by Grasim has ordered DG for investigation on 1st July 2025. The order is available for public on the website of CCI. We have to wait to see the results of the investigation. As this is a matter sub judice and with the regulator, we will not be able to comment anything further on the investigation.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And just last question for me. You mentioned that the B2B business will break even in FY28. Is that what you said?
Very sad.
When we reach this $1 billion revenue top line, no, Rashi, we said we will be positive.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lalo Shreya from Oakland Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. My question is related to the chemicals business. So my question was related to our chemicals business. So you mentioned that the chlorine integration level for the quarter was 63%. So could you give some sense or color on what portion of it was to the dedicated customers and what was for the internal consumption?
The breakup of the chlorine sales, I think internal consumption, I will give you a range because I don't want to give you an exact number. You can assume
any sense or directionally. Yes.
About 40% internal consumption.
Sorry, your voice was not.
So about 30 to 40%, it is a range which we are giving, will be in the internal consumption. Rest goes to the pipeline customers.
Okay, understood. And any sense on, since we will be having our ECH plant, and as you mentioned earlier, that because of the ECH prices going higher, the epoxy margins were compressed. So as and when we have our ECH plant, where do you see our epoxy margins going forward?
Yeah, wouldn't that also not depend on the ECH price at that moment in time in that quarter? As you know, ECH is a volatile commodity.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have to make an assumption on either propylene or glycerine or whatever. So that's a difficult one to predict. Of course, our profitability will... Right?
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Understood.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So I guess on paints, you indicated premium revenue share of premium paints is correct number or...
Aniruddha, voice is breaking.
So it's not revenue share, revenue contribution to the total contribution of premium plus luxury is 65%.
Okay, understood. And this premium paint is calculated, means it's any price and above, like 200 rupees per liter or 250 rupees per liter. Means how do you define that?
Market defines premium and luxury products in waterproofing segment, in wood finish segment, in emulsion segment and enamel segment. And the same is the definition. It varies from each category wise. It's very well defined. We have a brand. We have three broad brands. Style is a brand for economy. Calista is a brand for premium. And one is a brand for luxury. So primarily, when I combine Calista plus one, wherever applicable, otherwise whatever is market defined in a particular category. It's a very well defined.
Okay, sure, sir. And additional details means what would be the geography-wise revenue breakup if you can indicatively share east, west, north, south? Even if you share in FY25, that's enough.
So, you know, we've also told in the past that we are generally performing well across Pan India. And we also said that the range between maybe my best performing region and my so-called slowest performing region is also in 80 to 120. So that continues. So by and large, we have good acceptance. And like we said, we are growing and consolidating across all markets. This is also changing a bit dynamically.
And our aspiration is pan-India, not regional aspiration. So we want to grow and lead in every market.
So, you know, some other businesses of other competitors who have focused on particular states or have very disproportionate revenue from few states, we want to be all India, all-rounder, where we are doing well across all geographies.
Okay, sure. So last question. So we keep hearing from Channel Check that the 10% extra grammage scheme is withdrawn in some markets. Is that understanding correct or it's incorrect?
So I'm very happy that you raised this, because if you were not going to raise, I would have anyway given a clarification. We've also heard from other analyst calls that people know more about our business than us ourselves. So let me put this record on straight, that the 10% offer on 20 liters and 10 liters for majority of emulsion packs that we are giving fully continues. Okay? So this puts the record straight.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thanks for the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Sukrit Patel from Eyesight Fintrade. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. My question is specifically to Mr. Himanshu. Is Mr. Himanshu online?
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. This is Sukrit Patel. I had a forward-looking question on your emerging platform. With Birla Opus entering the decorative paints segment and Birla Pivot scaling the B2B e-commerce, how is Grasim thinking about cross-platform data monetization, predictive demand mapping, or AI-led SKU optimization across these verticals in the next 2 to 3 years? And in your view, could this create a differentiated ecosystem advantage versus standalone peers? Yes, sir. Please give your view on this.
So, to be able to, if I was in an environment which did not have a privacy applicable to me, I would have given a very different answer. But today the privacy laws of the country are very, very strong. And doing cross sales from different platforms, in my mind, is not permitted. I am currently the chairman of the FICCI Privacy Board, and clearly that's not permitted. We'll have to go back to the customer to do cross-sale of a customer available one platform or to the other platform. And that is itself is a humongous task. Both the new businesses are in the process of getting their act together, and we are not going to cross this bridge for a certain period of time. So that's our current position.
Thank you very much. So the line for the participant dropped. The next question is from line of Sakshi, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, everyone. So my question is regarding chemical business. How much is the chlorine price for this quarter?
For the quarter that we just reported, chlorine was trading at about 6,500 negative.
6,500. So, while calculating ECU, are we considering flakes and hydrogen realization?
So, everything that relates to the actual electrolysis process is considered in the ECU realization. That's the industry standard.
Actually, like if you see some industries are like while calculating ECU, they are considering flakes, and some are like both flakes and hydrogen. So what we are following in Grasim?
So ECU stands for electrochemical unit. So every realization I get related to my electrochemical unit is in my ECU realization. So I can only tell you what my definition is.
Okay. Got it. And the second thing, like for extension plan, we have quoted like ECH is 50 and CPVC is 50 KTPA. However, the chlorine derivative, we are telling 79 KTPA plan for extension. So may I know like what's the difference between 100 and 79? Is it like partly commissioned, already commissioned, or what exactly it is?
As you know, the market conditions are a little bit uncertain right now. So certain projects on chlorine derivatives, we have deferred for better market conditions. So that's the difference between what we indicated last quarter and this quarter. But those are smaller chlorine derivatives. The two main ones are ECH and CPVC, and those are proceeding as planned. The rest we may accelerate or delay based on the market conditions are.
Okay, okay. And what is the plan for extension of cost to 25 KTC? Is it same as quarter 3 financial year 26 or what exactly it is?
So that is again market timing dependent. It's a very small expansion. So, you know, when we believe the conditions are favorable, we will execute that.
Okay. And as we know, sir, like Adani and Reliance is coming into picture, what we are thinking, like it will impact our domestic market?
So we have been getting this question a couple of times, right? And look, the domestic for sure, and their project is related to PVC. There is a lot of changes also that happen in the global caustic scenario. So you know, if PVC demand adds in one area, it subtracts from another area. So it's a somewhat complicated question to answer. The Indian market is not insulated from the global market either on PVC or on caustic. So just looking at the picture from an India perspective only, you know, may not give us the full answer. Just look at the total PVC production capacity in Asia, right? And then put that in context of whatever Indian capacity is coming in.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Due to time constraints, we will take that as our last question. With this, we conclude today's conference call. On behalf of Grasim Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.